Today, I want to talk to you about God is proud to be your Lord. God is proud to be your Lord. How do I know that? Because he says it. And that's what I want to share with you today. If you were moving to a new house, to a new neighborhood, and you could move wherever you wanted to move, fanciest house, best neighborhood, whatever, and you started evaluating who you would live with and the neighborhood that you would live in, you would probably pick the people that would seem most like you and people that you think that would be good to live with and a neighborhood that would have, you know, maybe good schools, maybe close access to shopping, beautiful homes, whatever it may be that is important to you. And you would pick that, right? God picks us to live with. God has great plans for us. Revelation chapter 21, it says this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." I just stop right there. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Oh yeah, he lives within me. No, that's not what it's talking about. He's talking about, I'm going to move in physically with you in your neighborhood. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, you ever been thirsty for something more than yourself? To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers, that's Christians, the one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. God has great plans for you. If you read the rest of chapter 21, it describes a new city called the New Jerusalem, and God has prepared it, and he's prepared it just for us, just to live with us forever. And it says it was like a bride adorned for her husband at her wedding day, and it come down, and it was adorned with every great jewel. You know, that's where you kind of get this idea of streets of gold. The Bible doesn't actually say that the streets are gold. It says that everything that's made in heaven, all the buildings, it says the buildings, the edifices, are all made of transparent gold. Wow. God doesn't spare any expense, and yet the greatest gift that he gives us is himself. He's going to move in, and he's going to be our God so that we can go to him anytime, right where he's at. You know, God invites you to come anytime to him right now, right where you're at, because he's always there. He's always near. And he desires that. You know that he has great plans for you. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to open them up. I know I've got them on the screen behind you, but it's always something about reading it directly from your own Bible that makes it a little bit better, I think. Jesus is at the Last Supper. And Jesus has got a message for his disciples. Jesus, before the Last Supper starts, he said, this is a supper. This is a time of coming together, guys, that I've been looking forward to for a long, long time. Now, Jesus knows that he's going to be betrayed that very night, and he knows he's going to go to the cross, and he knows he's going to be killed, and he knows he's going to rise again in 3 days. He knows. But he has something to say to the men that follow him, and he has something to say to you today. And that's what I want to share with you with today. Number one, he encourages and he assures us. Assures us of what? Let's read. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do y'all, any of you today have troubled hearts? Jesus is saying, don't let them be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know to where I'm going. Jesus just told them that heaven's waiting, guys. And I'm going to go and I'm going to make a place that's beautiful just for you. He assures them that they would not be left alone. He encourages them with the words that if your hearts are troubled, don't let them be troubled. Put your faith and trust in God. Believe in God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? How many times have I said that in my own life? You know, you get scared that something's going to happen bad. And your heart's troubled. And Jesus is saying, don't let it be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. He bears with us through our ignorance. Now, this is a good example. Thomas pipes right up. You know, he's not afraid to talk to Jesus. He says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? He bears with us through our ignorance. Have you ever been ignorant in life? You ever done stupid things? You ever said stupid things? See, y'all really vocal about that. Oh, yeah, I do it. I did it just a few minutes ago. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, now get this. Instead of, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. When I was little, I always thought it was the light. I like life a lot better. I am the way, the truth of all life. And I am the life. And me is life, and I give life to all that I touch. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, whenever you start talking to people and say, oh, there's a lot of ways to heaven. No, there's not. Jesus himself said, there's no other way except through me. If you want to get to God the Father, I don't care what you call your religion. I don't care what you think you know. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through me. I'm the Son, and he has designated me the Savior of the world. That's who I am. There is no other way. So when I don't really have a problem telling people that because I think it's great. Why should there be a lot of different ways? It's really confusing. I like it that God just narrows it down to one way. This is what you do. Okay, I can do that. I can do one thing. I can't remember a bazillion other things, but I can do one thing. I can believe in Jesus. Thank you, John. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. You know, Jesus says this over and over and over in his ministry. He tells the people that are the rulers of the spiritual rulers of Israel, you don't know God. If you knew God, you would know me. You would acknowledge, you would be bowing down before me right now and say, it's him. It's the Messiah. He's come. And you would have been on your knees. But instead, you try to kill me. Just like your father, the devil, try to kill all of you. And that really torqued him up. You can imagine. But the thing is, Jesus tells him the truth. If you know me, you know the Father. I want you to think about that. God Almighty, that's how I like to think of God the Father. God Almighty sits on his throne in heaven, high and majestic, holy, almost unapproachable. And yet Jesus says to the lowly, to you, to me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know me, you know the Father. And he says, from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. He tells him plainly. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough. You know, again, ignorance. Jesus, we don't really get what you're saying. I mean, these guys walked with this guy for 3 years and I'm sure heard this said before. They don't get it. So often we as Christians don't get it. We don't get what God is trying to do in our lives. We try to make it too hard. And all it amounts to is that in our ignorance, God continues to work through us and in us. He gives us illumination and clarity. God gives us illumination. He wants to give us light. And he wants to give us clarity of thought. He wants us to understand exactly what he's talking about. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. You see, Jesus is doing the work of his Father. He says, I don't say anything, I don't do anything that the Father hasn't told me to say and the Father hadn't told me to do. Therefore, you're seeing an exact replica of the heart of God himself. And he's saying, if you've seen me, if you read in the gospel account, everything that you read about Jesus, you're reading the heart of God. That is the heart of the Father. He only does what he is told to do. He only says what he's told to say. So all the works that Jesus did, he says, believe, if you can't believe what I just told you, at least look at the works and say, who else other than God can do these things? But something greater is coming. He empowers and emboldens us to do his will. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. You know what Jesus did? He caused the lame to walk. He caused the dumb to talk. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the dead to rise. And he says, all these works that you saw me do, you're going to do them too. And even greater works than that. And it boggles our minds, doesn't it? We're thinking, how is that possible? All things are possible with God. And if you're going to God and you're believing in Jesus Christ, and Jesus is directing your steps, and if the Father is directing your life, and they're saying, this is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to do. There's going to come a day whenever you're going to see someone that is in a world of hurt, and God's going to say to you, time is now. I want you to heal that person. I want you to just do it with a word. But will you be prepared for that day when it comes? Will you be willing to put it all on the line for Jesus because you believe? It's easy to say the words. It's easy to just say it. Oh, I love the Lord. Praise God. It's a totally different thing to walk it on a daily basis. And that's who God is looking for every day. He looks for people that will stand in the gap. He looks for people that are willing to just put their lives in his hands and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Those people he raises up, and those people he uses in mighty ways. It's the ones that say, oh, Lord, I want to do that. I want to be the head of the miracle workers. I want to have that power. There was a man like that in the Bible. Peter told him that he was a son of Satan. He said, all you're caring about is the power. God cares about the love that's behind the power. It's a heart that loves. It's a heart that cares. It's a heart that will submit to God's will that God is looking for, not people that are just all mouth. Paul himself says, I have come to you with the word of God, but it is also that word, I've come in power, and you've seen the miracles. He's not boasting other than in Christ as Lord. He's just stating a fact, and he's saying, it's the word of God that allows me to do the things that you've seen me do and wonder, how can a man, a mere man, do these things? He says, it's not me, it's the Lord. Jesus himself gives credence to those words. Listen to what the rest of it he says. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, there's that word again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, you'll do what I say. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Last week we talked about, it was at Pentecost. And it was at Pentecost that they received the Holy Spirit in power forever. And Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. He comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Whatever you hear the Holy Spirit say, that's what Jesus is saying to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is just simply doing what he hears from Jesus. God guarantees us his presence and his love. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is after there's resurrection he's talking about. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, what is the commandment of Christ? It is to love. Love each other as I have loved you. Love is what God commands us to do. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? You see, they were still thinking about the Messiah being somebody that was a conquering hero, a military man, a man that would make Israel strong as a nation and all the other nations of the world bow down to Israel. That's what they thought Jesus was going to do. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Again, he's just repeating what he just said before. He bears with us through our ignorance, right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. God guarantees us his presence daily. And he guarantees us his love moment by moment. There is no place you can go. There is no situation you can find yourself in. There is nothing you can do so wrong that God just says, I'm not going to love you anymore. If God would give his only begotten son, what good thing would he withhold from you? God guarantees us this presence of his and his love. Finally, he gives us his peace, and to the world he gives an invitation. John 14:25, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's that don't let your hearts be troubled again that he's talked about at the very beginning of this whole time of talking to his disciples. Let your hearts not be troubled. And don't let them be afraid. So often, troubling times and fear immobilizes us as Christians. It takes us and it puts us in a place that we feel we're caged in. And there's no hope. There's nothing that can be done. And all we can see is darkness. And yet, Jesus says, if I'm in you, then I am the light of the world. Let your light shine. Let it blaze in that dark place. How do you let it blaze whenever you're afraid? How do you let it blaze whenever you have doubts in your mind and fear in your heart? You don't let it blaze by just saying, Lord, I'm in a tight spot and I'm in a bad place. But you, I put my faith and trust in. Whatever it is that you want to have happen here, that's fine with me. And all of a sudden, that peace that you can never comprehend. You'll never comprehend this peace that he's talking about. What kind of peace does the world give you? Here's the peace that the world gives you. It's temporary. It's fleeting. That peace is simply this. I'm going to leave you alone for a little while. I'm going to just kind of let you float. You're not going to have any trouble. I'm just going to let things go. That's the peace that the world says. You know, you get... Some people think you get enough money and you get that peace. I can guarantee you that's not true. The more money you have, the more worries you've got. Some people think that that peace comes from being smart. That doesn't cut it either because you're never smart enough. You find out the depth of your stupidness really quickly. And that's a downer. Some people think that you have peace by having lots of friends. That doesn't happen either because your friends will turn on you. So where does this peace come from? It comes from God and God alone. And it's a peace that is always there. And it's a peace that is always available. But God is waiting to give you the peace. How often do you, how long do you go through times of trouble, times of hurt, times of just your life is miserable, and you cry out to God, Lord, I save me. But you never say, Lord, I just want your peace. And then you just wait for it. You believe it. He's going to give it to you, and you just wait. You know, here's how we wait so often. Well, he ain't going to give it to me. That's exactly how we are. And God says, I want you to think about me. Because as you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. And I'll give you that peace. And that peace is forever. It's a peace that you can't explain to your friends or your family. It's a peace that only I can give. And it's a peace that you will have for all time. And people will ask you, what is this hope? What is this peace that you have that even in the midst of your own personal hurt, that you still can smile and you can still say, I know my Lord loves me. It's that peace that only Jesus gives. The invitation is this. We're going to jump back to Revelation for a second. This is Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You know, that's a scripture that is so overlooked, and I've overlooked it many times reading that passage. You get caught up in all the other stuff that Jesus is coming. But here's what Jesus, this invitation he gives. He says, the Spirit that the world would be convicted by if they don't know Jesus Christ. The Spirit says, come. You're not excluded. Jesus says, come to me. Give me your burdens. Give me your soul. Give me your life and let me show you that I can turn it around and make you what you were designed to be. The church is the bride. Do we not tell people, you know, the hope that I have? It's, his name is Jesus. And he's made such a difference in my life. So many different times I've been able to go to him and say, Lord, help me. Go to him and say, Lord, I need to know something. And he helps me and he tells me and he gets me through the hardest times. And I feel peace and I have a no longer yearn for something that I yearned for and didn't even know what it was. I'm fulfilled in my life. It's hard to explain, but it's real. You see, all we are is a witness. That's the bride. We're the witness. Are you a good witness? But the bride and the Spirit say, come. If you hear this today, to hear my voice, speak these words, I say, come. If you hear it, come to Jesus. Have you ever been thirsty, spiritually speaking? You know, we've all been thirsty after being outside and hot and dry, whatever. You're thirsty. You want a good cold drink of water. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you that cold drink of water. And it will fill you up. And it will quench your thirst. And it will give you so much more peace and happiness and what you desire. You don't know it yet. It's me. Let the one who desires take that water of life free of price. That's the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I lift our hearts up to you today. We've all heard your word. We've heard, Father, that you desire to help us and that you desire us to know you and that you desire to give us peace and to give us a hope in this world, Father, that is beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, and it's real. So often, Lord, we listen to the world more than we listen to you, and we ask your forgiveness. Father, you hold life. You are life. And it is in your Son, Jesus, that we have our life forever. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for our salvation. And Father, I pray for people today that hear my voice, whether they're here in this building or by radio, Father, that do not know your Son, that they would just simply, as they have the tugging on their heart right now, say, I believe. Save me, Jesus. Because I know that he will, and I know that he does. This is why we exist as your children, Lord, to the invitation to come. Father, We praise you and we thank you for your great love for us. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.